they did so reluctantly. They were all working their tappers soon, but they didn't operate.
"I can't connect," Kiwi complained. "It's just saying, syncing with network, and keep spinning."
Everyone had the same problem.
"Maybe we're too far out from base."
Carlos shook his head.
"No, no way. These things can reach 10 miles or more."
"Can they get a signal from Corvus?"
asked Kiwi. We glanced at her, then tried it, but it was no good.
"Our basic tappers aren't strong enough. I bet an officer could do it."
"The techs can. I've seen them do it."
Carlos made a pinwheeling gesture of exasperation with his arms.
"Well, that's just great. They give recruits the best of everything, don't they? Shit guns, shit suits, shit comm equipment. The trouble is, we're the only ones left alive. If I'd known, I would have stripped Graves and left him naked for the dinos."
I was working my tapper, ignoring him. I was deep in the confusing options screens. I'd spent some time poking around in there, but hadn't figured out what every screen did. Now there was a serious reason to do so.
"Let's set up a local network, so we can at least talk to one another."
"What the hell for?"
I gave him an irritated glance. Before I could answer, Kiwi spoke up.
"That's a great idea," she said. "We'll set up our own little net, then make it discoverable. Anyone else with a system more powerful than ours might detect it. They could receive our weak signals, and if they did a little work, link up with us."
I nodded, as if that had been my idea. In truth, I just figured we could communicate if we were separated. Carlos came near, looking over my shoulder to stare at my option screens.
"Well, look at the big brain on you," he said. "I guess you learned something in school before you dropped out."
I considered punching him, and I almost did, but it would have been counterproductive at this point, so I saved it for later.
"Well, I have a fix on the GPS on our location, at least. Camp is that way."
I didn't get an argument after that. They followed me toward camp. We hadn't gone 100 steps before we found digging equipment, a big pile of loose shale. It shone with metallic, spiraling strips of metal.
"They bored in and took pains to hide the evidence," I said.
"They knew we'd be watching from Corvus."
I nodded, and we pressed on. What we came to next startled us. It was a lizard camp with sleeping nests and campfires. The surprising thing was the massive size of it. The camp stretched for over a mile.
"There must have been thousands of them here," Kiwi said.
"Yeah, but where do they all go?"
I asked. I walked into the deserted camp, and for nearly a minute, no one followed me. They hung back at the edge of the jungle. I looked back and laughed at them.
"What? Do you think you're safe standing there behind trees? If they aren't gone, we're all dead anyway. Come on!"
They followed me at last. As we walked, we all took video with our suit cameras and tappers. If they wanted detailed data, that would give it to them.
"Isn't this weird?" Carlos asked me as we passed the massive camp. "I mean, we would always leave behind a few troops in a camp this big."
"Yeah, they aren't us. They don't have non-combatants in their armies. They all fight, every one of them."
"We shouldn't walk straight to our base from here. If they are hitting it and retreat, we'll run right into them."
I stopped, frowning. The rest pulled up behind us, nervously watching every tree.
"You're right. Let's veer off at a 90-degree angle for a kilometer or so. We should be out of their path then."
We turned and walked away from the alien camp and our own base for a time. The jungle became deeper, and the suns began going down. In truth, that was a blessing. I was overheating in daylight. My suit's AC was operating, but only barely. I could feel every outlet of cool air trickling down inside my suit, drying sweat as it went. It was barely enough to keep me from getting heat stroke. About 2 kilometers later, I called a halt. Everyone worked their tappers. We still couldn't connect with the base network.
"Something's wrong," Carlos complained. "This can't be right. We're only 2 or 3 kilometers out. I know our signal should reach this far."
I privately agreed with him, but didn't want to make a big deal out of it. "Let's keep marching," I said, doing my best to sound like Graves. "It will sort itself out soon enough." Keevy wouldn't let it go.
"Yeah, Carlos is right. This is all wrong. There are too many repeaters. They can't all be down."
"Look," I said, "maybe their power is down, I don't know."
"That doesn't make any sense. In order for—"
"Keevy," I said, interrupting her, "there's nothing we can do about it. Let's keep moving, not talking. We're easy meals out here." Talk of being eaten got them all moving again. After nearly an hour, it finally was dark, and we came within sight of the walls. They didn't look good. Using our night vision equipment, we could see they were damaged, and the entire area was filled with a pall of smoke.
"They're dead," Carlos whispered with sudden panicked certainty. "They're all dead. That's the only answer."
"They can't all be dead," I told him.
"We're screwed," he said, not even looking at me. "Look at those walls. There's no one up there. Big holes punched right through. No network. We're screwed, totally screwed."
We were hugging a bushy area about 200 meters from camp. It looked quiet. Too quiet.
"If we die now, they won't even be able to revive us," Keevy said.
She had the same panicky tone Carlos had. It was becoming infectious.
"Everyone who's died, they're already burned."
"We'll be fine," I said with a certainty I didn't feel.
"James, our data is here, on the planet," Keevy said. "Even if they did transfer it up, they have no way of knowing if we're alive or not. They can't produce a copy of any of us without being certain."
"Oh, God," Carlos said. "Varys did it again. My first damn time out."
"Did what?"
Keevy asked.
"What are you, an idiot? They wiped. You know what I'm talking about, McGill, just like I told you back on Earth. The Legion is gone."
I stared at the walls quietly. Keevy stared with me in mute horror. I had to admit it. He could be right. Chapter 15. We crept into the camp, passing one at a time through a smoldering hole in the puffcrete walls. The rim of the hole was still smoking, and I crushed hot embers with my boots as I slipped inside. We'd expected to find piles of dead inside, and we did. But they were mostly lizards. Our own dead were stripped of equipment and left to rot, every last one of them.
"Where are they?"
Carlos asked loudly, spinning around and lifting his arms into the air.
"There aren't more than 1,000 of our dead here."
"Quiet," I ordered. "Someone stripped these bodies. The only question is, who did it?" He snorted at me and dropped his rifle.
"What's the difference? There's no one here. Don't you get it? They pulled out. They checkmarked us as lost underground, and after getting hit hard, they pulled out. We're totally screwed."
"A minute ago, you were certain they'd wiped."
"Yeah, well, this is probably worse. I can't believe it. They just ditched us. I mean, a few recruits I can understand, but Harris and Graves? They were loyal Varys troops, you know? Graves even cashed in his chips to give us a chance to march out."
"Maybe," Keevy said. "Or maybe he knew what was going on, and he bailed out on us. He knew they would revive him, so he ditched us down there."
We all looked at her. I frowned. This rumor mill was in high gear. "That doesn't make any sense," I told her. "You're all panicking like a bunch of splats." I turned back to Carlos. "Pick up your rifle, recruit." Carlos laughed.
"Make me."
I aimed my rifle at him.
"Graves left me in charge. If you don't want me to test our revival equipment today, you'd better start listening. Pick up your damned weapon."
Carlos grumbled, but he picked up his rifle.
"Let's go to the tech bunkers," I suggested. "Maybe they left some equipment behind."
They followed me to the tech bunkers, but they were pretty much stripped bare. We spent the next hour searching the place. The humans were gone. It was clear they'd suffered a massive attack and then pulled out.
Here are the skid marks,
Carlo said, indicating deep furrows in the land. I looked at them. They did indeed look like the footprints of a lander.
You believe me now, McGill?